Hi, thank you for joining me on Holy Spirit Feed. This is Jen Johnson. I can't wait to share what Holy Spirit has been revealing. I'm praying that your spiritual senses will be open to receiving what Holy Spirit has for you. Welcome back, everyone. As believers, we are not here to just be getting by, just living a life of surviving. We are here to be thriving. I don't know about you, but I tend to like reality TV. It's not totally reality because there's a camera crew, you know, following them around, and that's not real. But you do get a glimpse into the way a family or a person lives their life. How many listening like to people watch? You hear people talking about that every so often, just sitting in a park and people watching. And we probably don't have too much time to do something like that, but I think reality TV is a similar concept. As a church leader, a people leader, I like to know what makes people tick. I like to learn about different communication styles and identify cause and effects of choices and such, how people choose to live and their decisions that they make, and then the consequences of those choices. I'm just interested in that type of thing. Maybe you are as well. So recently, I was just thinking with the Lord, and I was thinking about lifestyle choices and how we as disciples of Christ choose to live our lives. Having a vision for our lives, you know, specifically as believers. And I heard him say that we need to live close to the repentance line. And I thought, ooh, that's good. So that simple phrase, live close to the repentance line, it really began to ring in my ear, and I began to go on a journey with the Lord to find out what that meant and how it looks to live that type of a life. Living close to the repentance line. You know, I periodically have dreams about train tracks, and the Lord uses them to represent different things in my life. And how many know the thing about life is it's not hard to get off track, but it's hard to get back on track, right? Like once you derail a train, it's a mess, a disaster, really. And it's the same with our lives when we derail, so to speak. And it's happened to all of us at some point, maybe some more than others, but it reveals the need to live close to the repentance line, to stay humble and keep the ability to shift back to God's ways. How many know when a train does go off the tracks, the closer it lands to the track, the easier it is to put back on, right? As believers, we need to be checking ourselves, our hearts, our motives, so that we don't fall into sin. How many know that sin will take you further than you ever intended to go, and it will keep you there longer than you ever intended to stay? I heard that years ago, and it just stuck with me. You know, just an example, no one ever smokes one cigarette with the intention of becoming hooked and eventually smoking a pack a day for 30 years. No one ever has their first drink and thinks, oh, I'll become an alcoholic. No way, we don't do that. Sin is a slippery slope, and once we're entangled, it's tricky to get out. But if we are living close to the repentance line, staying close to our source, God, allowing Him to course correct us, that's where we need to land to stay on track with Him. So let's talk about repentance. The definition of repentance is the act of repenting, sincere regret, or remorse. Okay, so I wouldn't really use that as a biblical definition, or at least it's not complete. Of course we regret, we have remorse, but repenting is really an action. Let's read Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. So this is the beginning of Jesus's ministry. And one of the first things he says is repent. I'd say it's pretty important. So let's talk about more of a biblical definition of repenting. So to repent, to change your mind, to turn away from the wrong thing and turn toward God's ways, to come into agreement with God. Steve Backlund from Igniting Hope says, "We don't repent from something, we repent to it." So I really like that statement because it's on the positive. It's like, I'm not going to worry about what was wrong in the past. I'm not going to give it any more attention. I'm going toward this thing. I'm going toward the right thing. I'm going toward God. To change the way we think to God's ways. Yes, away from the devil's ways or whatever else. But the important part is, what are we going toward? We're talking about living in such a way that we are quick to change, to quickly make a shift and turn away from one thing toward another, toward the thing, the gospel, toward Jesus. That said, I want to talk about something in our culture because us applying the Word of God to our personal lives is important. We are here not to be influenced by worldly culture, but instead to influence culture. We aren't going to be hearers of the Word only, but doers of the Word. Amen? So in our culture, there's a concept, an idea of being open-minded. And some even think of Christians as being too closed-minded. Now, they think of us of being too closed-minded, even judgmental, because we don't accept things that are contrary to God. And we should be that way. That's normal for a believer. Now, we are open to people and loving them, of course, but not to wrong behavior, to sin and deception. While we love people, we don't love sin. It's important to be clear because in our world, when people begin to throw around that idea that Christians, they're not tolerant, there may be a temptation to say, oh, well, I guess to each his own, and begin to let wrong things creep into our lives and into our minds about what is acceptable and what is not. Hear what I'm saying. I'm saying it is not okay to be wishy-washy and not stand firm on God's word. It is not okay to just be so open-minded that you are open to things that are contrary to his word and his ways. What I'm saying is know God's ways, know his words, know him so well that if you get off track even a little, you live so close to the repentance line that it's a quick adjustment back into alignment. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor." Another version says, "Humble yourselves with an attitude of repentance and insignificance in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will give you purpose." That's the Amplified version. So, purpose. When people don't know their purpose, they have no vision, they begin to exalt themselves above God. Now, according to the Amplified version, it says, if you don't humble yourself, you won't know your purpose. That's big. I see a lot of wrong things going on in this world because people don't know what they're here for. Being able to quickly humble ourselves before the Lord, not to other weird things, okay? Just the Lord, and then get back on track with him. So I want you to think about this in college or, you know, even in high school classes. There's a class time. And then there's often a lab, like specifically science would have class time, and then there would be a separate time that would be lab. That would be for like practical experiments and things like that. So during the time that I was preparing this message, this content, I literally just felt like I was in the lab of life the whole time of dealing with this repentance thing. I mean, I wasn't like out there cussing like a sailor or drunk on the corner. I'm not saying that. But my thoughts were things like, I'm just going to give up on that thing. Or I'm not really good at that thing, so I'm just going to, you know, quit doing it. Or something else would come up and I'd be like, oh, that's not going well. You know, just constantly, I had to spend time correcting my thoughts to align with God. And I just want to announce, like, hey, this is my last repentance message because I don't like the lab. I don't like the practical. I'm just kidding. But during this time, I really do feel like God was just teaching me. He was growing me on how to live close to the repentance line and taking every thought captive fast and completely. As I was birthing this message, that's the process that I went through. You know, but here's the deal. God has something for all of you to bring into this world as well. And it's not always easy. Birth is painful, but God is faithful. How many know? He who began the good work in you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day that Christ Jesus returns. He will get you through the lab so that you can birth whatever he's calling you to into this world if you live close to the repentance line. So back to that open-minded thing that I brought up, because I really do believe it's a problem within our Christian culture. All someone has to say is, oh, you're closed-minded. You're judging me. You're not tolerant of other lifestyles. And then we fold. You know, not every believer, but sometimes we do. We just fold. We don't ever want to be thought of as judgmental, right? But here's the thing. We're not judging people, but we are called to make judgments. That's scriptural. Matthew 7:15-18. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Another version says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Okay, so we better make judgments about people's behavior, about the way they act, or we'll get eaten by the wolves. Amen? Come on. The word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's going to tell us what's up. It's going to tell us how to handle things in our lives. It's going to tell us how to live in a righteous way. So this needs to be said because we can't stand firm in God's ways and receive and welcome in and accept the enemy's ways at the same time. We can't be wishy-washy. We can't play both sides of the fence. The word says, choose this day whom you will serve. Decide what team you're on. You might be like, well, hey, I'm on the team of love. Then that is light and that's God's team. His ways are higher and best. It's not loving to approve of sin in our lives or anyone else's. Do we love the people? Yes. But we know where we stand, and it's firm on God's word. So we live close to the repentance line. We're not open to sin. The thing that you are open to is God's correction and restoration. That's living close to and walking the line of repentance. All right, so that's a good place to break right now. We're going to go ahead and continue next time with this Walk the Line series. Guys, don't forget to share these episodes with friends, family, and thank you for listening. Join me next time on Holy Spirit Feed.